Greetings. I'm Bill Klatke, and I'd like to welcome you to today's edition of Living in Baltimore. Our guest today is Benjamin Orr, who is President and CEO of the Maryland Center for Economic Policy. And Ben's here today to talk to us about the various things that the center is doing to help Maryland, as well as some updates on the current and concluding Annapolis session. So, Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. I know you're busy. First of all, for those of our listeners who did not hear the show I did with you a couple years ago, could you tell us a little bit about the center?
Sure. So we are started in 2013, and we are a nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank that believes that every Marylander should be able to achieve their full potential in a healthy economy that offers a widely shared and rising standard of living.
So, and your job as president is, of course, to watch over everything and make it work.
Well, that's right. You know, we do a lot of research and analysis and public education, and I have a great, phenomenal team of about between six and seven folks on my team, and so my job is to point them in the right direction and make sure that I can keep the doors open and pay them for their great work. Also, I get the opportunity to go out in the community and have conversations like this.
How can someone find out more information about the center?
So the easiest way is to either, you know, check out our website, and while you're on the website, you can sign up for our mailing list. Our website is mdeconomy.org. You can also follow us on Twitter or on Facebook. On Twitter, our handle is @mdeconomy. And on Facebook, our handle is MD Economic Policy.
Okay.
Something like 25% of renters in the state are behind.
Let's talk more about specifically different parts of your work, you know, towards your mission. I know that with economy in the name and in your handle, et cetera, budget and tax is probably the number one. Huh?
That's right. When I talked about, you know, we believe that every Marylander should be able to prosper, government has an important role to play in making that possible. And so for us, we are very concerned and pay a lot of attention to both the state budget and tax policy at a very high level. Where we invest our shared resources is the clearest reflection of our values as a state. So a lot of our work focuses on questions like, are we investing enough in our schools or in our healthcare system, transportation networks, and other critical foundations of our economy? Who is benefiting from public investments and who is not benefiting? You know, are we supporting the Marylanders who aren't paid enough to afford basics like housing and food? So closely related to that is our work on tax policy. So, of course, we can't build thriving communities in our state if we don't have the resources. So we spend a lot of time looking at who pays taxes and how we can make our tax system more equitable. Right now, our tax system is upside down, which means that the very wealthiest Marylanders pay the smallest share of their income in state and local taxes. As we talk about budgets and we talk about tax policy, here at the Maryland Center on Economic Policy, we also focus on other sort of related issues that are critical to the economy, like making work pay, making sure that people who work are paid fair wages and have access to basic benefits, like, oh, I don't know, in the middle of a pandemic, maybe people need paid time off when they're sick. And in around, you know, criminal justice and public safety, you know, we're not necessarily an expert on, you know, the pedagogy of sentencing guidelines or other things like that, but we do focus on the ways that our criminal justice system affects people and communities, and also work in partnership with great organizations like Job Opportunity Task Force or the ACLU of Maryland. So things like ending the criminalization of poverty through fines and fees, ensuring that people who've made a mistake in the past and have paid their dues have a fair chance to move on and can find a job that supports their family, and investing in communities as one of the best ways to increase public safety, for example.
I know that you've done such things, and I'm sure continuing in closing corporate loopholes. How does Maryland do in terms of the corporate world?
So we are, this is one of the issues we have been working on for pretty much our entire existence as an organization, and continued in the 2021 legislative session in Annapolis.
Mm-hmm.
We have parts of our tax code that favor large corporate, multi-state corporations over small Maryland-based businesses, and also others that preferentially treat the ultra-rich over working families. So we continue to work with, we have a coalition that we work with called the Maryland Fair Funding Coalition that advocates for an equitable tax system that raises the resources our communities need to thrive. But we haven't, you know, we've over the years closed a number of loopholes, but there's still some pretty big glaring ones out there, including this idea about combined reporting where multi-state corporations can artificially transfer their profits out of Maryland so they don't have to pay Maryland taxes on them in a way that small local businesses can't.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And it's the sort of thing where the majority of states in the country already have combined reporting. Maryland doesn't. And it's the sort of thing where, you know, sometimes the argument is made that, oh, corporations don't want to, won't want to deal with this new policy when in fact virtually all of them already operate in states that require combined reporting, including a number of very red states that otherwise are not very progressive on taxes. You have lots of examples of corporations moving, for example, you know, Discovery a few years ago moved from Maryland to New York, from a state that did not have combined reporting to a state that does. The taxes are not what's driving those decisions. It's more around where is the workforce that these corporations need? Where are the customers? In Discovery's case, of course they're going to move to New York. They're a media company and New York City is a media hub.
Right.
Very different way from Maryland. So.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Let's talk about the session. What went right and what went wrong? And what were you folks working on?
Yeah, so this has been a challenging session for everyone, given the constraints of working during a pandemic and the huge challenges facing the state. You know, on the one hand, I am very appreciative that the legislative leadership took the pandemic seriously and restricted access to the legislature and did not allow people to enter the buildings, that sort of thing. From a public health standpoint, that was very important. On the other hand, from a, you know, access to your government and transparency front, it was sometimes challenging. You know, the legislature did, to their credit, increase the rooms in which they were broadcasting online what was happening, the conversations that were happening between legislators and the votes that were taken, et cetera. So we had more transparency around that, but it was impossible to, for example, hold a rally on Lawyers Mall in front of the legislature calling for, you know, showing public support for a particular bill, for example.
Right.
So it's been a challenging session, there have been some really significant actions taken, and there's a few issues that we're recording this before the session is over, it ends in a couple days. So there's a couple issues that are coming down to the wire. You know, after one of the big pieces that they've already achieved is after years of work, the General Assembly overrode the governor's veto of the Blueprint for Maryland's Future. This is a huge bill which makes our education system much more equitable and provides billions of dollars in additional funds from public schools like supportive services for high poverty schools, career and technical education, pre-K programs, and higher pay for teachers. And they also passed additional legislation to address the needs of schools and students as they return to in-person instruction. These investments will benefit generations of students. We will be looking and following this as in the ensuing years because the investments that the blueprint promises will only continue if the state continues its commitment to fully fund these investments. So that's
right.
That's something for all of us to keep an eye on.
How about housing eviction?
Yeah, so, you know, that's one of the things that they have left to the very end here. We believe there's legislation that's on track to pass that would support legal aid for people facing eviction proceedings, which could help many Marylanders avoid eviction. That isn't totally over the finish line, but it seems to be on track to pass. At the same time, a package of other bills that would have taken a variety of steps to prevent a flood of evictions is stalled in the Senate after passing the House. While there is federal housing relief, that housing aid from the federal government alone is not going to be enough to help all Marylanders currently at risk of eviction without these policy changes and additional state assistance. As I said before, about a quarter of renters in the state are currently behind on rent.
Yeah, that's a crisis.
It really is. And, I think sometimes people may not realize that even in the midst of these eviction moratoriums at the state and federal level, there are still evictions happening. There are various loopholes that landlords are finding and using to evict tenants despite the moratorium. So,
what a shame. Ben, we're running out of time.
Sure.
How can our listeners help?
So there's some great ways to help. Like I said, some of these issues, we're not sure if they'll get fixed in the 2021 session, and there's many issues that are going to continue to be to require careful attention and public input for the next year, the next few years. If you're interested about housing, I might suggest going to RentersUnitedMaryland.org. A lot of the housing advocacy has been focused through that coalition. If you're concerned about essential workers, I would check out ProtectMDWorkers.org. And if you care about our tax system and how upside down it is, and that everyone should pay their fair share but isn't, then check out our website, FairFundingMD.org, specifically around the Fair Funding Coalition. And again, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, check out our website, and sign up for our mailing list at MDEconomy.org.
Wonderful, wonderful. So that's RentersUnited.org?
RentersUnitedMaryland, spelled out, .org.
Maryland.org. ProtectMarylandWorkers.org.
ProtectMDWorkers, yep.
And FairFundingMD.org.
Correct.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. And for your organization, can you do you need volunteers, donations, et cetera?
Well, we are entirely funded by the public through grants and contributions, so that certainly is always a way to help and make sure that we can continue to provide people with policymakers with the important information that they need to make smart decisions. We're not necessarily have as many volunteer opportunities ourselves, but the websites that I mentioned are a great way to get connected with these larger coalitions that are doing a lot of work with volunteers. So that I would definitely encourage people to check us out in those ways.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today in Living in Baltimore. I want to thank our guest, Ben Orr, who's president and CEO of the Maryland Center for Economic Policy, for being our guest today. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you for having me.
Keep up your good work for all of us. You're one of the silent, you folks are some of the silent warriors behind the scene that help make Maryland a fairer place. And I, on behalf of the citizens, I want to thank you for your work.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Remember, if you need training in fair housing, call the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights at 410-767-8600 or Español Marca El Dos or 1-800-637-6247 or go to nccr.maryland, spelled out, .gov or call me at 410-929-7640. It's free and it'll help. And also, if you are a victim of discrimination in finding an apartment, getting a mortgage, being unfairly passed over for a job at work, or being told we don't rent to you people. Don't just take it. File a complaint. Call the Maryland Commission on Civil Rights at 410-767-8600, mccr.maryland.gov. And don't forget, if you would like more information about this show, about the Cherub, please contact us at www.gbchrb.org or email at wkladky@gbchrb.org.
For Living in Baltimore, that's all we have time for today. I want to thank you for tuning in. Let's try to be a good neighbor out there in all of our neighborhoods, and we'll see you next time.